Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. The sermon will be delivered by our pastor, the Reverend David Hutchinson. It is World Communion Sunday today, and we receive a peace and global witness offering. 25% of it stays in our community locally, and this year we are supporting the Backpack Project. God has called people from the farthest places of the earth.
From east and west, from north and south, the people of God are gathered to sit at table together.
The stuff we engage in all week does not feed the deep hunger of our hearts. God has called the powerful and the poor, and people from all ways of life.
As a sign of unity and an act of hope, we come to this table to be in communion in the body of Christ with Christians from around the world.
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, and one Spirit. The Anthem is an original composition written by Kathy James. Look to the sky.
Traveling over so much pain. I don't time of change. And now that we understand the pain, open our eyes, we can learn and teach and grow and look to the sky. Our hearts and pray for you.
The scripture reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. On the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, the people of Israel spend a lot of time in the wilderness. 40 years. That's what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. 40 years for a journey that could have taken a few weeks. So why did it take so long? Well, they spend a lot of time getting off track, for one thing. And they spend a lot of time receiving the law from God, for another. That is the central piece of this whole story. It took 2 tries for them to get the Ten Commandments, right? So there's more going on here than a geographical journey. There's this spiritual journey of growth and of God. And this wilderness time is about establishing that relationship with God. And it took a while. They spend 11 months at this first base camp described in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. They're there for the whole narrative time span of the rest of the book of Exodus in this camp, the base of a mountain. They spend years then in the wilderness of Paran. The book of Numbers describes year after year of sending explorers into the promised land north to check out this land God was calling them to move into and call the promised land. Deuteronomy begins after 40 years in the wilderness at the base of the mountain. So it took a while. They spent a long time in the wilderness. I wonder if any of them thought they would get to the promised land sooner. I'm not sure anybody told them how long it was going to take, but again, it wasn't that far, geographically speaking. So it could have been a much shorter journey, geographically speaking, but instead it was a long time, and they didn't know how long it was going to be. And they didn't really go physically anywhere. They were at a camp. Well, that could be true for a lot of things. We don't always know how long things are going to last or how long a wait is going to be. Right now for us, this whole timeline for the COVID vaccine drags on and drags on, and it's not clear at all how long it will take. And so waiting can seem even more like a wilderness. And you can probably think of all kinds of other examples, right? There's situations of health care, there's jobs, there's relationships, all of which can be about waiting and waiting. And part of the experience of the Hebrew people in the wilderness is about waiting. Jesus also spends time in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, getting prepared and preparing. And a poet from North Ireland, who is named James Simmons, imagines this scene with Jesus in the wilderness. In this poem called In the Wilderness, it goes like this. I sit alone on the rocks trying to prepare a man to teach what the laws of life are. Sunlight and silence, nurses against disease are busy fighting my infirmities. And the life is simple. You couldn't even say rough. A stream, some cans, firewood are enough to live on. But a hostile shift of the weather would bring me sharply up on a short tether of endurance. We haven't survived by strength alone. We have neither fur nor fangs. I will go home just as I rise from sleep, eat and get dressed. This is one more resort, not the last or the best. A teacher in the wilderness, alone, learns to make bread and sermons out of stone. So Jesus' base camp, described in this poem, is different from that of the Hebrew people. Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness instead of 40 years. But it's in the wilderness all the same, and it's a time of waiting. And so that's true for both of these base camp moments, base camp in the wilderness. So what do we learn from these accounts of a base camp, right, set up in the wilderness? Well, one thing is the purpose of a base camp is preparation, right? A base camp is not an end in itself. It's not a family camping vacation. It's base camp. You don't go to a base camp to stay there. Even if you're there for 40 years, that's not the goal. A base camp is about going on further, even if it's 11 months or 40 days. In the July edition of National Geographic, there was an article called The Great Mystery of Mount Everest. It's about two men, Sandy Irvine and George Mallory, who you probably haven't ever heard of before. They may have preceded Sir Edmund Hillary, who you've probably heard of, to the summit of Mount Everest. Irvine and Mallory disappeared in 1924 during a storm as they climbed up the mountain. And Mallory's body was finally discovered in 1999. Irvine's body's never been found. And the great mystery is what happened. Because more to the point, did they make it to the top? So, did they die on the way up or on the way down? Nobody knows. And that's the mystery. There was a recent expedition, and that's what the article's about, to try to find Irvine and solve the mystery, right? If they could find the other body, maybe they could solve the mystery. And the expeditions that go, even this exploratory one, all begin at a base camp on the slopes of Mount Everest, which they set up to go up to the top. Now, base camp on Mount Everest is at 21,000 feet. Think about that. For comparison, Mount Hood is 11,000 feet tall. Rainier is 14,000. Base camp on Mount Everest is higher than most people have ever climbed. It's difficult even to reach base camp. But if you're going to explore the top, you have to set up a base camp. So what do we learn from, again, this account of base camp set up in the wilderness? Well, as I said before, base camp's not an end in itself. You don't have a base camp to stay. It's for going on further. And if you're going to explore the top, you have to set up a base camp so that you can, because you can't get all the way up in one day. It takes time. There's waiting involved. And so, another question, as we think about the Bible, are we going to focus on what happens in the base camp or on the mountaintop? In the Old Testament, the focus is on the law, not the mystery of God. The book of Exodus is about the Ten Commandments, way more than the mystery. I mean, sure, there's a burning bush, but God is described very briefly. And then God's in a cloud. And that's about all there is. By comparison, the law is described in great detail, chapter after chapter, about the law. So on Mount Everest, the mystery of what happened to the climbers at the top of the mountain is never solved. That other expedition never finds the answer. And the writer of the article seems to say, he seems to suggest at the end of the article that if it remains a mystery about Mount Everest, it would be okay with him. Here's what he writes. At the end of the article by writing this, he says, "To all the questions about the climbers, I had no answers. But I had learned something about the pull of Mount Everest that drives people to push themselves so hard. Because if I hadn't walked in Sandy Irvine's footsteps, I never would have felt that myself. The only thing I could now say for sure was that the mystery of Mallory and Irvine would endure perhaps forever. And that was okay." So maybe the point is not the mystery at the top of the mountain, but walking in the footsteps of the seekers. Remember, Jesus' ministry started out in the wilderness. Why? Jesus walked in the footsteps of a seeker. Jesus set up base camp for 40 days in our wilderness, walked in our footsteps, and continues to do that and help us to do that. Maybe that can help us be more compassionate and focus on the right things in our own life. Our summer pianist, Kathy James, wrote a song for us today, and it's called Look to the Sky. And the words are about what to do in the face of the world's pain. And they urge us by saying, close my eyes doesn't seem the right thing to do, so look to the sky, lift my heart, and pray for human kindness. Well, at first it seems to direct us to focus our looking upward toward the mystery on the top of the mountain, right? Look to the sky. But that upward glance is not about solving the mysteries of God. It's about what goes on more downward, right? It's a prayer of compassion. Look to the sky, but pray for human kindness is what the words of the song are. In the Old Testament, the focus is on the law, not the mystery of God. And really, what are the Ten Commandments and the law if not a prayer for human kindness? Path toward justice. Compassion, right relationship. God does not tell Moses or the Hebrew people not to look to the sky. God just says, don't spend all your energy trying to climb the mountain in some effort to touch me and achieve something and reach the answer to all the mysteries of God and the universe so you'll be enlightened. Instead, focus on the law. Focus on the Ten Commandments and life in community and right relationship. Look to the sky, but pray and act with compassion and human kindness. That's basically what God says to Moses. He won't even let him see all the glory of God, right? It remains veiled. The mysteries of God are solved through human kindness, maybe. If we keep our focus on things down here, God will lift us up there. And after all, remember how God describes the flight from slavery here in chapter 19? How does God describe freeing the Hebrew people? God says, I bore you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. So we don't have to spend all our time trying to figure out how to climb life's mountains or solve the mysteries of God in the universe. If instead we focus on right relationships, like what's described in the Ten Commandments, that will lift us up. That will lift us up. And in that, God will lift us up. So may we let ourselves be raised to God as on eagle's wings while we both look to the sky, but pray and act for human compassion and kindness. Amen.
Next is hymn number 517, We Come as Guests Invited.
And so we certainly appreciate your participation in mission with us through the Peace and Global Witness offering. You can mail your check into the church if you'd like to be part of that. And we receive those offerings to be a part of mission in the world and to do something about our faith and help others and to be compassionate and hope for human kindness, right? As we gather around the table, we gather around tables, right? Well, first of all around the world, but even throughout our community, not all together in the same room, but united by our faith in Christ and trusting in that around the worldwide communion table. And so with our prayers and joys and concerns on our hearts, those of our community and the people we envision in our minds and know and love, let us receive the bread and cup today. If you have some in your house, you could pause the recording right now and go get it. Or if you already have it, that's great. In a moment, there'll be an opportunity to partake of the bread and juice. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to God.
Let us give thanks to our God.
All our thanks, all our praise.
You formed the universe in your wisdom and created all things by your power. You set us in families on the earth to live with you in faith. You give us companions on this earth, Orthodox, Catholic, Protestant, who all offer you the love and worship of their hearts. And we thank you for women and men of all faiths who serve you and who serve one another. Great is the mystery, great is the glory. And so with the whole human family, we sing.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God Almighty,
merciful and mighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hallelujah. Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three, we remember your Son, his life with the humble and his heart to serve others, his resurrection for us all. Death could not bind him, and we are raised with him. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God has called people from the farthest places of the earth.
From east and west, from north and south, the people of God are gathered to sit at table together.
And so we bring our prayers today, O God, our joys and concerns, our hopes, possibilities, and we offer our prayers to you as we share the gifts of bread and cup. Holy God, we pray for your Spirit. Enliven us with this bread and awaken this body and pour us out for each other. Make us, while many, united. Make us, though broken, whole. All glory are yours. Praise now, praise tomorrow, praise forever. You may partake now of the bread and juice in your homes, and so participate in this feast of the Lord's Supper. Now that we have partaken of the bread of life, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the amazing, amazing love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you. Go in peace.